Praise the Lord. Way too much commotion for my liking tonight. So, if you're not in children's church, don't move. Satan is the master distractor. It's what he does. He distracts. Amen. She did, I don't want to say forgot, I didn't tell her, but on that, I guess it's that same Super Bowl Sunday or no? How many Sundays do we have before the 8th? Just next Sunday, this Sunday, and then the 8th is after that. That Sunday, we will have a church meeting afterwards to talk about the building program. Every other day, I'm ready to kill all of that, but I'm trying to stay out of my flesh. We will talk about it. We'll give you an update of where we are, where we need to be, all that good stuff. So if you don't stay, don't whine about not being informed. And that day, we also will have Pastor Sergey with us from Ukraine, from Kyiv. He's in, and I asked him to come so he could share with everybody, you know, the boots on the ground, bird's eye view of everything they're dealing with, and, you know, to be a blessing to them, just to open up our doors. I lined up a couple other places for him to be. So I'm looking forward to that, and then he'll hang out for our meeting afterwards as well. And we'll be quick, you know. Hate to always rush things because people are always in a rush. So, well, I shouldn't even say we'll be quick. We'll go as fast as it takes, and if you got to go, you go. We'll just leave it there. Amen. I do have a word I want to share with you tonight. And I have what I consider to be a better word. On Sunday, something the Lord gave me both of these messages the same day. And I want to try and help you for those that want the help. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. I don't think I'm. Oh, happy birthday to Sister Marcia back there. She's 35. Sister Marcia's been with us from almost the beginning, and we cherish her and are thankful for her. If nothing else, Sister Marcia, we're just all growing older together. Other than the quitters, they're not growing older with us. Can you tell I feel a little irritated in my spirit tonight? I feel like Moses and I have a kin spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherein you have heard that it should come. Even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God, heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I just want to preach to you for a couple moments on the topic greater. And we're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us all. Amen. Would you pray for us?
Lord Jesus, we love you, God, and we honor you, Lord. God, we thank you for all that you've done here tonight, God, the spirit that we feel here, Lord. God, I ask, Lord, that as you give the word to pastor and he brings it forth to the church tonight, Lord, that he speaks, Lord, God, with clarity, Lord, God, Lord, and he just steps into your spirit tonight, Lord. God, may he speak clearly, Lord, and with boldness, Lord, God, as you need it to be said tonight, Lord. God, may our ears and our eyes be open, Lord God, as we need you here to help us tonight, God. Lord, may every distraction, Lord, just leave this place immediately, God. Lord, so you have a clear path, Lord, to speak to your people here tonight, Lord. And God, I ask that you just bless the church tonight, God, with a perfect word and in a timely manner such as this, God. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We had a great time in Mansfield, other than the snow. I do see that for some, the sun was too bright for them to make it tonight. Don't worry, it'll be gone here soon. It'll start snowing, and then you won't have, well, never mind. It was either the pastor there or somewhere else, and we were talking about preaching, and we were talking about pastoring, and we were talking about, you know, encouraging and all that, and leave it to me, because I was using an example, and I said, sometimes the pastor just has to go into church and just flip tables. If you don't know your Bible, then you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not going to flip tables tonight, don't worry. But I'm just saying, if you ever wonder why sometimes you get a little irritated in your spirit, it's because you just wish there was a couple tables in front of you and you could feel a lot better. I'm just a little heavy. So this scripture begins by a beloved. This is not any form of harsh correction, but it shows pastoral care. John is protecting the people that he loves. The address is very important to the rest of the text. Then he says, try. Try the spirits, whether they are of God. That means to test, to determine if you will allow it into your life or not. That's what it means. Test it. Determine that. Everything that you feel, everything that you hear or you think you hear, every thought, you want to test it. Try those spirits. Determine if it's from God or not. God is the standard. He says, test them to see whether they're of God. God's the standard. He's not emotion. He's not charisma. And he certainly is not about popularity. God is that standard. And then he follows up and he says that there are many false prophets. After he encourages them to try those spirits. He said, there's a lot of false prophets out there. The danger isn't rare or hypothetical. He says it's widespread. This is the message. If I could get it across to the world today, I would try to help them understand the danger that they're in. People, even this very day, walking away from God are in danger of hellfire. Danger. And so he begins with this term of endearment, and then he goes into this strong suggestion. Try those spirits. See whether they're of God or not. God is the standard, not your feelings, not your emotions, but God is. And then he says, and because there's a lot of false prophets out there that I would suggest to you, he's insinuating, give rise to these spirits. And they do. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I wish I could get people to open their ears sometimes and listen when you try to tell them that. To understand that half of your battles, it's not that they're spiritual, but there's always, sometimes, in most cases, some form of spiritual undercurrent behind it. And if it's not spiritually driven, it's spiritually encouraged. Satan will take your fire that you started and he'll fan your flames. Whatever those are. And you probably won't know where I'm going, so just hold tight with me. And then in verse 2, he says again, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. What he means is if what you feel affirms the word and the truth of God, then it's real. That's what he's saying. He's saying if what you feel affirms the word and the truth of God, then it's real. You see, everything should be measured against the word. Everything should be put, come on, listen to me now. Every feeling, every emotion should be put up against scripture. Everything that you go through should be put up and compared to the word of God. Every struggle that you have should be put up against the word of God. And then you know whether it's real or whether it's not. Because those false spirits will not confess Christ. They will not confess the truth or reality in your situation, but they will try to convolute your thinking and they will try to distort what is reality or truth. Those are not of God. That's what we're talking about here. And he goes on and you see the rest. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and you can read it again if you want to. But then verse 6, we are of God. I got a question for you. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and you said, I am a child of God? When's the last time you told yourself, regardless of what's going on in my life, regardless of what I feel, I am a child of God. I'm of God. I'm not of this world. This world is not my home. And then he knoweth, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth God heareth us. So he says, if you know God, if you are of God, you hear the voice, the prophet, the apostle in your life, the preacher. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And this is one of the scriptures that I try to tell people. Don't dare say you have a relationship with Jesus and you don't have a pastor. No, you don't. Let me say it a little louder for those of you who don't want to listen. You don't have a relationship with Jesus if you don't have a pastor and a relationship in your life. He said, let me read it to you one more time. The word says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. If you know God, you hear what we've got to say. He that is not of God heareth not us. You can't be any plainer than that. I knew that wouldn't get a whole lot of traction. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I wanted to preach that to you. I preached this somewhere else about these, I think it was, I don't know, 7, 8 spirits that are in the church. I'll bring it here someday. One of them was the spirit of error. The spirit, it's not a spirit of truth, it's a spirit of error, meaning it's a spirit that causes us to error in our ways, in our thinking, in our realities, whatever those might be. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9, and I didn't give them any of this stuff yet, so I'm sorry. You just got to jump forward one chapter. 1 John 5 and 9 says, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, I just need to read the part that matters to this message. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. That means that if every time someone tells you you're trash, God saying, you are my child is greater. If every time someone tells you you're worthless, God says you're so valuable that I was willing to give my life, it's greater. It supersedes what somebody else says in your life. If someone else tells you you're not going to make it, the word of God says you can make it with Christ. All things are possible. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. It's greater. Now listen, remember what I told you. God is the standard. He's not emotion. He's not feeling. That means sometimes you will not feel like you're better, but you got to remind yourself what the Word says about you. There are times you will not feel like you're qualified, but you got to remind yourself that God qualifies me. There are times that you will not feel like you're being successful, but you got to remind yourself that God uses everybody, and he takes us as we are, and he molds us. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And so sometimes you got to get over your, as little sister Laura Housel used to always call it, your stinking thinking. And you got to talk yourself through it. And you've got to say, I might not feel really good about myself, but Jesus died for me, not because I'm good, but because I needed him. And I accept that in my life. And then verse 12 of the same chapter, it says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Life is not walking around on your lip all day long and whining about everything that's wrong and whining about how bad you are and, oh God, woe is me. That's not life. But he that hath the Son hath life. Life is when you learn that no matter where you've come from or what things have happened in your life, you can hold your head up high, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And so remember now, if you're going to receive the witness of men, now receive the witness of God. The witness of men might call you a failure, and they might say, you've done this and you've done that, and you've destroyed this and you've destroyed that. But the witness of God says, there's nothing that I cannot restore that has been broken. And so you have got to receive the witness of God, and you have got to have the life that God gives. Let me say it again. You're not going to have life with your feelings or your emotions. I'm not trying to be cruel, but I'm just saying it's a fact. You can wake up and you say, oh my God, it's snowing again. And then you can just go about your day and whine all day long and talk about how horrible Ohio is, or you can wake up and you can say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Period. Listen to me. I'm not trying to get you excited. I'm trying to tell you facts. We are allowing too many things to control our feelings, our emotions, our circumstances, because our world is emotion and feeling driven. And yes, I'm talking to you ladies and some of you men that have emotions like ladies. Your emotions cannot dominate your life. They can't. You cannot let your emotions determine what is reality and what is not reality in your life. You've got to talk yourself through some things and say, I am a child of God. Don't say, well, why would God want anything to do with me? Don't speak that trash. Don't give it any ounce of life that it needs. What would God want to use me for? He wants to use willing people, not qualified or quality people. Not one of us were of any ounce of quality when he found us. We were all in the gutter of life. We were all found in the trash can of life. But God decided that he could take that trash and he could make it treasure. And you've got to start saying those things and believing them in your life. And so, admittedly, I'm not shifting gears. I know where I'm going. I've waited oftentimes for other evangelists to come in to help pray people through to the Holy Ghost, or to preach on certain topics, or to pray for healings and things like that. You know why? Because I just didn't feel like I could. And so I've waited for somebody else to do it for me. You know what I'm talking about. You wait for someone to come in. I heard someone the other day. I don't remember who it was. I hear things all the time. Well, I'll just go back to a session I was in with Mark Morgan years ago. And he talked about people coming up and asking for a word. And he said, you've got the word. Right there. Now, sometimes we need someone to give us a word, but God doesn't need someone to give us a word. He is the word. Now, God will use people to affirm the word, but what am I saying? I'm saying Sometimes we don't feel qualified enough for God to give us the word, so we're looking for somewhere else in the word. You follow what I'm saying? Well, God can't give it to me. God's got to come through somebody else. God, give me somebody. But greater is in you already. Greater is already in you. You don't need somebody greater than you to give you a word. The greater is already in you. And so sometimes we just don't have the confidence that the greater that's in me can give me everything that I need to sustain me. I strongly believe when someone needs a word, listen, God gave me a word this week. I'm going to share it with you on Sunday. It was a word that blew my mind. It was a scripture, and God gave me a whole deeper understanding as Bishop Nichols talked about the layers. And I was just like, wow, for days I'd get goosebumps just talking about it. No one else gave it to me. Now, somebody else may affirm that word at some point, and that just solidifies it. It makes it richer. It makes it stronger. But what I'm saying to you is we have become too accustomed to a lot. Brother K.O., you just talked to me a couple weeks ago about some things that God spoke to you. I knew it was right because I felt the same things. I thought, that's powerful. I know that's God. You don't need me to say it to you because the greater that's in you is able to speak to you. And the greater that's in you can give you what you need if we're looking in the right place. And if we don't get emotional about it, the greater is in me. The greater is in me. But we don't live that way. We don't act that way. We don't talk that way. We talk like we're unqualified to the most basic of things. Well, I can't talk to them about God. Look at my life. Hogwash. I don't care if you've been in church for 14 days. You got 14 days on top of somebody in the world. Hey, come on, some of you now. Some of you folks, you're here because you watched online. Somehow you stumbled across the video. You're here, Nicole, you posted that on Facebook a few weeks ago. Powerful testimony. Someone sent a dog into your house and it was Sister Carter's dog, and here you are. Don't tell me you don't have a testimony. Don't tell me you don't have something that God can use. That's the hand of God, the way He works. But we belittle ourselves because we don't really believe or feel that the greater is in me. We act as if God wants nothing to do with us. We act as if God doesn't hear us, so we got to go find somebody. That's how these people are going online and following all these stupid preachers online that all they want to do is wreck people's lives and wreck churches because they're so unsubmitted, they couldn't submit to anything if it slapped them in the face. And you got people that are looking for stuff, and so they're fine because they don't trust the greater in them, so they'll trust the voice of somebody they never even met to prophesy into their life. That's not prophecy. You say, well, you saying God can't do that? Sure, God can. You think, listen, I've said for years, folks, I've never understood. I'm not trying to sound cruel, but people, I remember when the Lakeland revival was going on down there in Florida. Now, I won't give you my own opinions. Oh, no, yes, I will. For those of you that don't know and you got all googly-eyed over that, and oh my God, God's doing some great things in Florida, like God moved to Florida and He abandoned every other state. That's how simple we are sometimes. That's how naive our thinking becomes. We're going to Florida, the Lakeland Revival, because God is not from, He's not even present from here to Lakeland. So we're going to go down there and we're going to find a preacher that's all tatted up because he looks like he come from a gang and he might have, and I'm not saying God don't use that stuff, but what I am saying is the man was prophesied over by the leaders of those movements. I watched the video. Oh, wow, he was having an affair on his wife. Yeah, it got real quiet, didn't it? Prophesied that God is going to use you greater. At that very moment, he was having an affair on his wife. But you know what? Try the spirits. We're so simple sometimes, and I'm not trying to sound cruel. I'm just being real. We're so simple that we go chasing people all over the country rather than trying the spirits. And do you know why? Because we do not understand or believe that greater is in me. That the greater is in me. The greater is in me. You don't need, hey, I'll take some job security. You don't need a preacher always laying their hands on you. You can pray through right by yourself. You don't need some faith healer to always, and I believe that people operate in faith. Don't get me wrong. You know what that's for? That's for the people that don't have enough faith on their own. Because he said, greater is he who is in me. Greater is he who is in me. We've just got to start believing that the greater is in me. I'll take it a little further. And so there's been a lot of times, Brother Jerome, I felt like I needed somebody else. I remember when I called Brother Pasley on my first missions trip and I asked him to pray for me. And he said, you don't think God can use you overseas, do you? And I said, nope, just like that. Exactly how I answered him. He said some things that were helpful, encouraging. Today, not only do I believe it, I know God can use me. I know when I go, I know God gives me a word for those people. I know I know where I am. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm very confident about it. And I know when I walk in there that greater is with me. And I know that the greater is going to use me to bless them. If I go into another church on the weekend, I'm not worried about somebody better than me having been there. No, I know the greater is coming in there with me. And when I speak now, I'm going to speak with the confidence that the greater is in me. And God can use me just as much as he can use anybody in this world. And I'm confident about it. Now, I got to stay in my lane. I got to know my calling, not try to be somebody I'm not. But when I do, I know that the greater will use me. Because greater is he who is in me. And that's not haughtiness. That's somebody who's learned to take confidence in the greater. Because I've always spent half my life looking at other people. Greater. Just like some of you. You know what I'm talking about. You don't even believe God can use you to witness to somebody. You don't even believe that you can teach somebody a Bible study. Well, I don't know much. You know, I don't have a, what you have is more than what they do. I've said it 1,000 times. And if you're nodding your head, yes, you should be in a Bible study. But you don't do it because you don't know the greater that's in you. You have not yet realized the potential that God has put within you. It's potential. It's raw potential. It's the power of God. It's the Holy Ghost. The greater is in you. Start living like the greater is within you. And stop living like you are a victim or like you are incapable or unable. Now, I'm not asking you to get all prideful on me now. That's not what I'm saying either. Sister Diane, I'm sorry if this has offended you and you're leaving. I wouldn't have said it if it was anybody else because I know Sister Diane would laugh it off. Here, I'm gonna hit closer to home. Are you ready for it? Some of you don't even believe that you have the ability to raise your own kids. You're looking, I'm gonna help you. You're looking for somebody else to help you. I've heard it for years. I've heard people for years seeking other people for help. Listen to me. The greater is in you. God has given you the ability to raise your children. Don't let your feelings rule you. Now, I'm going to talk to you mothers just for 1 second. Stop being afraid of getting firm with them. And I'll leave it right there because the camera's running. Don't be afraid of that. Don't feel like you're not qualified. You are. You birthed that child. You carried that child. The greater, I'm here to tell you, God will help you. The greater is within you. God will enable you. If you pray and you say, well, how? Because I prayed those prayers. I told you, I've shared this with you 100 times. I prayed, God, I don't know how to be a father. You have to help me. And I'm not saying I hit it all at 100%, but I know when God has helped me. I know when he stepped in, he taught me. And he taught me how to take some of my emotions out of it. And he taught me how to be firm, yet to be loving, and when to spend time, and when to be disciplinarian, and all that stuff. The greater is in you. If you're a single mother, the greater is in you when God has filled you with the Holy Ghost. But you can't lead by your emotions. God is the standard. He is not emotions. And so you have to believe that and you have to take confidence in that. Stop saying, I failed my kids. Stop speaking that garbage. You can't fail your children if you let the greater work through you. Remember, try the spirits, see whether they be of God or not. Where do you think all that stinking thinking comes from? It's the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that are speaking into your life and trying to convince you that you're unqualified, that you're unable, that God only uses certain people. If you learn to allow the greater that's within you, God will change your family. He'll change your home. He'll change the way you operate. He'll change the way you minister. He'll change everything about you. We don't believe that God can use us this way or that way or however. You need somebody else to pray for your miracle. Where'd that ever come from? I know that Jesus did miracles because that was the first time anybody ever stepped on scene to do miracles. It was all brand new to them. And what happened to the apostles in the very beginning? They couldn't cast out the devil. Why? Because they thought they needed Jesus to do it. Because they did not yet understand the greater that was operating within them. And so the word, this is going to seem like an oddball detour, but just hang with me for a minute. Matthew 13 and 57. Matthew 13 and 57. Are you okay? Are you with me still? He told me he wanted me to spit in another mic for a little bit. I didn't understand why, but maybe he likes the smell of it or something. I don't know. I figured I'd wake you up, get you on board. Poor Brother Tyler. Matthew 13:57 says this. That's not Matthew 13:57. Somebody's got it wrong. Oh, yeah, that's it. Thank you. I just didn't have the whole thing. And they were offended in him because Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor except save in his own country and in his own house. You also see some slight variations in the other gospels. Mark 6 and 4 says among his own kindred and in his own house. Luke 4:24 says no prophet is accepted in his own country. John 4:44 says a prophet hath no honor in his own country. What Jesus meant is familiarity breeds doubt. One of the reasons why we feel like we have to look elsewhere is just because we become familiar with each other. And when you become familiar, so familiar, you get used to hearing the same voice all the time. Sometimes, now I don't mean we need this, I'm just saying this is our thinking. We need a fresh voice. You forget that the greater's in me, I may forget the greater's in you. And that's where people go looking. That's where people go church shopping and church hopping. It's a very dangerous place to be because we've lost the ability to remember that the greater is in me. I don't have to go somewhere else to find it. But because of the familiarity with Jesus, he was not able to do anything in his own country, in his own house. Even in Nazareth, they saw him as the carpenter's son rather than the Messiah. And so the pastor's voice becomes old and stale, or the preacher, any preacher. Just like, hey, 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 just like a parent to their children. You better remember that. Because our voice becomes stale to our children. Sometimes you're around a group of people and your child's talking a certain way and someone says, hey, don't talk to your mother that way. And you see their ears perk up and they get a little embarrassed. And you're like, man, I've said that 1,000 times. They don't even look at me. This dude here says it one time and they're all embarrassed. They're ready to go crawl in a corner and pray and ask to repent. Had a lady once who is backslidden. And she calls me up one day and she tells me she's out front. It was in the summertime and she's doing some yard work or something. I don't even know. Who cares? And she says this stranger comes walking down the road and she's smoking her cigarette. She starts talking to him about the Lord. That's when she used to invite people to church. And he says, church, you a Christian? She goes, yeah. He goes, you're smoking. Now, this is what he says. He says, You're going to hell. You know that, right? She quit smoking that day. I said, I've been preaching since I knew you. I've been begging, pleading, praying over, throwing oil at you, doing everything I know to do. One stranger walks down the road and tells you you're going to hell. Now, you wonder why. I mean, I can't figure, should I be harsh or not, God? I'm trying to be better. This dude says you're going to hell and you quit smoking. Why? Because the voice becomes old and stale and the prophet's not. Now, the problem with that is see, when we do that, we get there. It's because we have lost communication with the greater that's in us. Because if the greater in you was allowed to speak into your life, the greater would say, hey, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't need a preacher to even preach to you. The only reason we have preachers is because we have doubters. Or we wouldn't need preachers. That's why the Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Because the believers sometimes become too overtly familiar with the voices that God has placed in their life. The reason I just did that is because I forgot what I just said. It just like went that fast. I was going to revert back. I didn't have to tell you that, but I just thought it was funny. I'm going to have to go back. I was going to follow up with what I just said literally like 5 seconds ago, and I don't remember what it was. It's gone. It was good, and it will come back to me. What did I say, somebody? Help me out, because I want to come back. We didn't have doubters. We wouldn't need preachers. What else after that? He chose to. It's going as fast as it's coming. Something's going on here. I don't know what's happening to me. If we didn't have doubters, God, it was good. Where was I going with that? I'll come back to it. I didn't have to share that with you, but I just thought I would give you a little laugh. That's why I believe God gave us the fivefold ministry. You have to have different voices. It's normal. We are human beings. And it's easy to allow that voice to become stale, to forget the greater that's in me. So God has to bring in different arms of the ministry in order to stir that back up. Now, I know you don't know this, and you hear preachers say it, but I'm telling you, you have no clue. You just really have no clue. I have preached on things for a month straight, and sometimes you'll get a little head bob. You might get an amen. If you're really lucky and it's a really good day, three people will stand and clap. The evangelist comes in, and I mean preaches almost word for word what you preach, and people are going nuts or falling on the floor, speaking in tongues. They're crying. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, you're sitting here like, my God. I don't even know what to think about myself anymore. I must be really a terrible preacher, or they just were asleep when I was preaching this stuff. But it's because we, in our nature, can you play for me, honey? We lose communication with the greater. We fall asleep in church. We get up, we walk out 5 times. Not a good time. We go from sitting in the front to sitting in the back. Kenny, I got a lot of respect for you, man. You've fought a lot of things in the last couple years, but you've stayed right there in that front row. Me, I'd have moved to the back wall if it was me. I would have. I did it before. I did. But we lose contact. The only problem is we've lost contact with the greater that's in us. And if we reestablish that communication, he'll speak. You don't have to wait. That's when you know God shows you something or God speaks something to you, or you read a scripture, then you go to church, and then it's preached, and you're getting all crazy excited. Wow, I was just reading that. I was just talking. That's because the greater says, yes, you were. You let me speak. Now I want to affirm that word for you, because the greater is able. We have to start praying, God, let me stir up the greater that's in me. I keep telling people, and some of y'all don't want to listen, I'd like to slap you if I could get away with it. And I'm serious, a heart attack. I tell you, stop talking all that negative junk. Stop speaking everything that's wrong. Speak what's right. Some days I wake up and I go to my prayer room and I just say, God, thank you. And I mean it with all of my heart for waking me up again. Thank you for, you don't have to give me another day. I just read a terrible story right up in, somewhere right here in Ohio, down south. This cop gets called and this dude's walking around. He's a mental and he pulls a gun on the cop. The cop shoots at him. He shoots the cop, hits him in the head. The cop shoots back. Somewhere a block away, the bullet goes through the window of a barbershop, kills a 4-year-old child. See it? And when you hear those things, you're like, thank you, Jesus, for letting me get up today. And then you can have a real conversation with the greater without whining about everything. Because you realize God is so good. He gave you another day. He didn't have to. He's got purpose for me. He's got plans for me. Some of y'all keep getting lost in all of your drama and all of your mess, and you forgot that God even has purpose and plan for your life. And I realize I might not always preach the best thing that fits where you are, but you shouldn't need that. Listen, a preacher's got to minister to every single person that's in the congregation. That's why the greater is in us. So God can deal with you today before you ever get to the house of God. And we do need the preaching, and it's important because we're human, but we shouldn't need it all the time. You just got to remind yourself, the greater is in me. Rather than complain about what God hasn't done yet in your life, you need to remind yourself, the greater's in me, he knows. And if God has kept me where I'm at, then I trust in the hand of God. Why? Why? Because I'm a child of God. That's why. If you stop looking at yourself as an outcast, you might not think that God has cast you out. And so God puts us together. And we have to trust the relationships that he's established. Trust in the word. Focus on the word. Stop looking for someone else or something greater. Stop seeking a name for your answer. What do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. We're so messed up in our society that we think we got to have the biggest names that we know out there in pulpits come in and preach in order for God to do something. And then we're all drooling at the mouth like the Messiah has just walked in. You know why? Because we think that voice is greater than my pastor or my evangelist or my husband or my wife. We think they're greater than we are. That's how messed up we are. But the greater, he's in us. He's in you. The greater is in you. Stop seeking somebody else or something else. I didn't plan on saying that, but I really feel that right now. I listened to Bishop Nichols. I'm finishing. And what time is it? 8:30? Where'd time go? Anyway, he's talking about layers, and I hear him say, you know, that's why God has to, you got to have that sickness in order to learn and see that God is able. I can't remember exactly how he worded it, and I start thinking of Natalie, because I know what she's been going through. But you see, he didn't come lay hands on you, or did he? I don't know. I didn't think so. Why? Because he's not the answer. The greater within you is. That's why. Hold on a second. Buckle your seatbelt. I just feel like I should say this. Sometimes to us, the doctor's greater. The doctor's greater. Or the lawyer, he's greater. Or she. They can get me out of this mess. They can fix this because they're greater. But the greater is just inside of me. You have everything you need. You are equipped with every tool that you need to be an overcomer, to be a victor, to have the joy of the Lord, to have your miracle, to have your answer. Your answer for your own family, your answer for your own home, your answer for your situation, your answer for your sickness, because greater is in you. Greater. If you might be one of those few people that think highly of me and you love us and you appreciate us, I got some big thumbs up back there. It makes me feel good. But in all reality, the greater is still in you. There is no greater than Jesus Christ. There is no greater than his hand of provision. There's no teacher that can teach you anything that he can't. There is nobody else that can do a better job with your children than he can. There's nobody else that can fix your marriage like he can. There's nobody else that can give you the words that you need to reach the people you've been praying about than the greater that's in you. When you walk in your house today, you need to say, hey, honey, we're home. Yeah, me and greater. The greater that's in me, he's greater than you. I know you think you've been the best thing that's ever happened to me, but he's greater than you. I'm telling you, you'll get them all messed up. They'll be like, I guarantee you, if you do that, watch this. They'll be like, what in the world did he preach tonight? But it's a fact. My wife told me one day she was driving down the road. She was coming in the church. She was complaining. I think she shared that with some of you. And she was complaining that she always was alone. I feel terrible about that. Oh, I know what it was. She always had to drive to church by herself. And you know what happened? She told me, she said, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you're not alone. You've never been alone. The greater is with you. I know sometimes we need a physical presence. I understand that. But my God, we cannot forget how powerful the presence of God is. How rich his presence. He's greater. He's greater than everything. He's greater than everybody. He's greater than any preacher. He's greater than any singer. He's greater than any Tyler. He's greater than my wife, who I think is a pretty great keyboardist. He's greater than your Sunday school teacher. He's greater than Brother Jerome, even though he's great. He's greater than Brother Kao, and he's good in the pulpit. I've heard him. I've listened to him preach, but he's still greater. There is no greater, and we've got to remember that the greater is in you. The greater is in me. He's greater. He is greater. And if you live that way, and if you believe that, there's nothing that will intimidate you. There's nothing that will overwhelm you, because the greater. And that's why David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock, the greater that is higher than I, because the greater is right here. Would you stand with me? I don't know where that fits in your life today. But I welcome you to lift your hands and say, God, you're greater, and I give you the praise that you're worthy of. You're greater. You're greater than my circumstance. You're greater than my situation. Oh, you're greater than my bitterness. Some of you, I love you, but you cannot have any victory because you want to hold on to your bitterness. But God is greater. He's greater. He was greater than my upbringing. He was greater than any trauma that I experienced in my life. He was greater than my worst day when I wanted to take my life. The greater was there and I didn't even know it. He was all around me. He kept his hand on my life because he's just that great. You don't even know when he's around. Hey, I want to tell you something. God has kept his hand on you. He, even in your worst day, even in your worst sin, the greater was still all around you, and the greater was still sustaining you, and the greater was still preserving you until he can bring you to an altar of repentance to give you an opportunity to be ready to be with the greater for all of eternity. Jesus, would you sing, Brother Tyler? Jesus, you're great. You're great and greatly to be praised. You're great and greatly to be praised. How great is our God! How great is our God! Oh, hallelujah, bless Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And worship his holy name.
Hang on one second. Don't hate me, but switch your song. Do it. How great is our God? Listen, I don't know who's watching. It might be two people. It may be 20. It might be 200. I don't know. I don't really care. But I hope if you didn't come to church tonight, I hope you're at least watching, because some of you need to realize the greater is in your life. You need to get out of your pit of despair and your pit of confusion, and you need to say right now that the greater is in me. The greater will be in your living room. I believe that right now. Hey, I think you should be here, but if you're not here, he'll be in your living room, and you need to start crying out to the greater in your life. You need to start giving him praise and say, greater is he is in me, and praise him right now and worship him right now and give him glory. Because he does not have to be with you or with me. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're greater. Greater than my marital problems. You're greater than our past. You're greater than my biggest mistake. You're greater.
He wraps himself in light.
Hallelujah.
In darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. And how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all name above all names.
Stay where you are, keep your eyes closed, but I want you to hear this last thing. 2 Timothy 1 and 6 is, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee. What does that mean? That means you didn't lose it. It just goes dormant. Why? Because we haven't used it. It's been neglected. Stir that gift up inside of you. What's the gift? It's the Holy Ghost. That is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that in itself births gifts of the Spirit. Stir those things up within you. Watch God do what only God can do. Stir it up right now, somebody, just for a few more minutes, and let God do what God is able in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
How great. Come on, church, can we just lift our hands and can we just pray together as they continue to sing? Let's just keep pressing into the presence, Lord. I'm so thankful for the word that we heard tonight. And I pray, God, that we never forget, Lord, how great you are compared to all the things of this world. God, there's nothing like you. And I pray, Lord, that this would never be something that we forget. But if it does happen, God, if there is a morning where we wake up and we forget, God, how great you are, I pray, God, you would send a voice to speak to us, to be able to speak some sense into us, Lord, to remember how great you are, greater than anything, God, this world could ever give us, greater than this thing, anything the world could ever offer. I pray in the name of Jesus, let this be a year where our faith not only is tested, but it is grown exponentially, more than it ever has ever, God, changed more than this time, Lord, next year. I pray we could look back and say, wow, I couldn't believe that my faith could be this much, but Lord, it is because of you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you continue to do a work in our church, Lord, for not only for this community, not only for this county, Lord, but I pray, God, we can begin a revival, Lord, that would go across all of Ohio, Lord, and begin to just birth something, Lord, here in Northeast Ohio. And I pray it could be a blessing, Lord, not only to us, but to your kingdom, in the name of Jesus.
Going to sing one more time, then we'll put some music on so you can pray. Just a beautiful spirit here, and thank you for responding. Sunday, we're going to have victory in this house. I want you to be praying about the service on Sunday. But we're going to have victory here on Sunday. God has already set it in motion. It's already in the Spirit. So I want you to believe that with me and receive it and tell anybody that needs to hear it. God bless you. I love you.